Is my understanding correct that everything is empty, nothing is there, from the horses to the
Well, it's not, yeah, but it's also his the Buddha's use of emptiness is that it is empty of this much. What still remains is this.
And this is the body and the senses, right? So then, when the body dies, and with it the senses, then that also kind of disappears in the same way that the horses disappear and are not there.
Yes, but then it's also then but if the asavas are still functioning, and it's then your karmic impetus or karmic momentum will then take one to further birth.
But beside that, like it still sounds to me like that description a little bit like nothingness. And that's like, you know, like as if it, like if there's the karma, then there's something there. But there is if there's no karma left.
Yeah, well, that's where it gets back into the elements of the the unapprehendability of the enlightened, and or the 'cause it's not a categorical empty nothingness. What's that quote? I mean, you've quoted all the time of the Buddha not being measured or not being.
So in the Buddha's dialogue with Vajragata, he says, and Vajragata is asked, what happens to an enlightened being at the death of the body? Where do they reappear? And the Buddha says, reappears doesn't apply, does not reappear, does not apply, both reappears and does not, not, does not reappear, doesn't apply, neither reappears nor does not reappear, doesn't apply. You know, the way you're asking the question, Vajra, it implies a reality that doesn't exist. And then he uses that wonderful analogy of where did the fire go, north, south, east, or west? You know, if I asked you that question, what would you say? Or the question doesn't apply. Exactly. So to ask where does an enlightened being go when the body dies, it's where doesn't apply, being doesn't apply, going doesn't apply, you know, time, location, identity, none of those apply. So the Buddha said, then says, that material form that one would use when trying to describe the Tathagata, that has been cut off at the root, made like a palm tree stump, deprived from of the conditions for existence, and been rendered incapable of arising in the future. So to feeling, perception, mental formations, consciousness, the Tathagata is liberated from being reckoned in terms of form, feeling, perception, and mental formations, consciousness. He is profound, immeasurable, unfathomable, like the great ocean. So that quality of presence, the word Tathagata refers to, has completely dropped or let go of the five khandhas. The bridge is down. There is no connection. But they're having a dialogue. Right there's the body and life is there. So that there's absolutely no identification with the five khandhas, but there is the Buddha as a living being having a conversation with Vajragata as another living being. So that it kind of represents that same kind of dynamic of complete letting go of everything, but there are still the senses and life. And then when the body passes away, the Buddha is absolutely stoic in not giving, he said, you know, it can't be spoken about because all the usual reference points are gone. And in the dialogue with Upasiva in the Suttanipata, then when Upasiva asks the same kind of question, he says, so one who has reached the end of their practice, when the body passes away, do they no longer exist? Or do they enter some kind of transcendent, blissful state? And the Buddha says, one who has reached the end has no criterion by which they can be measured. That which can be spoken of is no more. You cannot say they don't exist, but when all means of speaking or phenomena are removed, so all modes of being or phenomena are removed, all means of speaking have gone too.
So So with all of that, actually, I get more of a sense of that it's not nothing, it's not oblivion, it's not...
It's not nothing, but it's not... But any kind of reference point of a being in time, in a location, none of those apply. And so, and although the Buddha, when people would language things in terms of being one with the allness of the all, the Buddha saying, no. That language stops at the barrier, at that border. It's like language concept. And again, I think it's absolutely kind of marvelous that the Buddha just stoically says, no, no matter how clever or wonderful or poetic your descriptions are, doesn't apply.
And yet in this sutta, it sounds to me, like to my ears, when I would read that, that it sounds like nothingness. So is that a skillful means? Because there is a strong grasping in the minds of people that, you know, like one puts it rather this way, like strongly as if it wouldn't exist. And
then well, in that sutta, the Buddha's talking about emptiness in terms of absence, rather than emptiness in terms of transparency, which is a bit of a distinction to make. So he's saying those things are absent, but what is here? It's empty of, you know, of horses and elephants and so on to begin with, or it's empty of earth, it's empty of the base of neither perception nor non-perception. But what is here? So it's talking about emptiness in terms of a thing which is not there, an emptiness of absence. So another way of relating to emptiness is, say, empty of substance or empty of... So you kind of use the word transparency, that there's a form there, but there's nothing solid. But this is talking about you just really using that emptiness in terms of a thing which is not there. But what does remain is these qualities which appear to be things.
Mm. Yeah, because this is, again, this is where the Buddha's use of the term empty is kind of quite different than the later schools of Buddhism that come up with an emptiness as a metaphysical or philosophical idea or ideal. And the Buddha his relationship to it is much more prosaic.
I think that's where I get it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
It's not a philosophical position.
You're mapping it on to the inherited kind of things that we, because it is such it pervades all the different schools of Buddhism.
There's another short teaching of the Buddha, which where he, I can't quote it exactly, but he basically says, I make two kinds of statements. Statements where you should draw implications from these statements, and statements which you should not draw implications, you know, you should not draw out further, you know, try to tease out what exactly this means. Yeah. And the Buddha was aware that people had a tendency to do that and cautioned about it.
Blessed are the cheesemakers. Well, really, anyone involved in the dairy industry is what we're talking about here.